Big question of the day. What is Ash Wednesday? What is Lent? And so there's all these questions about it. And I preached, we did a big Ash Wednesday service about 4 years ago, I think maybe five. And we had everybody come to the worship center. And I tried to encourage Steve to preach that service, but he wanted me to preach the service. And so I preached, I guess, what I ended up calling the anti-Ash Wednesday service. You can't find Ash Wednesday in the Bible. You can't find Lent in the Bible. And so I was doing all this study and research on it. And it's so funny because there's this really strong group that says Ash Wednesday, Lent, it finds its origins in pagan practices, and so Christians shouldn't do it. And then there's another group, and, you know, they said, you're not a Christian if you don't do it, right? And so the balance, obviously, somewhere in the middle, because the heart behind it is what's really powerful. You think about this. You know, you just kind of take an evaluation of your life, and you look at, you know, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, you know, and you think about all these things. I mean, think about Facebook. Like, you know, I've had people, you know, come to my office and say, I need help. I've got this problem, you know, I've got an addiction and I'm waiting for, you know, what's going on. And it's like these people who spend 12 and 13 and 14 hours a day on Facebook. And I agree with them. That is a problem, right? And it's funny because they don't have any friends with skin, just friends that have pictures, right? Is how that works out. But you think about whatever it is in your life. And I was reading something. It talked about all these things that so many of us, kind of our final evaluation of those things is we've wasted so much time. And you think about that. The time that we have wasted. I mean, I've certainly wasted a lot of time on a lot of things that really have no eternal significance. But when you think about it, the reason there's an Ash Wednesday, the reason there's Lent is because we've wasted something far more valuable than our time. And that's our hearts, right? You can't give time to something without giving your heart to it. And so in the good things, that's good, but in the bad things, it's true as well. That we haven't just wasted time, we've wasted our hearts. And so I kind of want to illustrate this with a story. And it's a true story. You may find it funny, you may not, but the point of it is what this is about. And I've never really shared this publicly, and so I'm going to share it here among my closest friends, right? But last year, I entered myself into two weight loss contests, all right? And it's sad. What I'm about to tell you is really sad, so don't applaud or anything, but I won both of them. And, you know, what's crazy is basically I won both of them losing the exact same weight, right? Because the first contest I was in, I lost 51 pounds in 57 days, right? And how do you know? Don't clap because it wasn't good. It wasn't good. I didn't use drugs because that's one way you can lose 51 pounds in 57 days. But it was really this horrible practice because all the things I did in those 57 days, none of them were healthy. You know, none of them were good. I mean, during that contest, I was eating about, what did it get down to? I can't even remember. I was eating less than 500 calories a day, right? And the last 2 weeks of the contest, I didn't eat 500 calories the last 2 weeks, right? So I lost 22 pounds the last 2 weeks, right? But, you know, and so I did the contest. I won it. And I don't know, took me two and a half months to gain back almost every bit of the weight. You know, so what did I learn during the contest? Nothing, right? Nothing. I learned how to lose 51 pounds in 57 days. But, you know, the point was to learn how to lose 50 pounds and keep it off for the rest of your life. And I didn't learn that. And the guy, there's a guy, I love this guy, he runs D1 here in town, and that's who had the contest, and he would come on Wednesday night. So if he's here, I didn't tell him I was going to tell this story. But I saw him one Wednesday after I pretty much gained all my weight back, and when I saw him, I was completely ashamed, and I avoided him that night. Because usually I'd run right back to him and say, hey, and I just didn't. I just wanted to get out of here, right? Because, I mean, they don't make many bigger sizes than this one, right? And so, you know, you become a master of disguise. And he called me. He said, man, how you doing? And it's one of those calls you get. And they're calling because they already know how you're doing. You're doing horrible, right? Or they wouldn't be calling. He's like, how are you? And I was like, man, I'm great. And, you know, without saying anything, he knew I knew. He said, man, just come back to D1. And I said, honestly, I will never go back to D1. I will never walk in that place again. He said, why? I said, I'm ashamed. He said, is it the people that are there? Is it the trainers? Who is it? I said, it's all of you. It's everybody that saw me lose 51 pounds in 57 days. I don't want to see anybody ever again, right? And he says, man, just come back. Just come back. And then he like works this out so that during this dead time when nobody's there, that's when I would go back. And it was just me and him, and he started training me. And I got to thinking, because the next contest was coming up. And I was like, you know, I think I have learned some things. And so I get in the next contest. And I weighed in 3 pounds less than when I started the first contest. I mean, I gained back just about every bit of the weight. And so in the second contest, though, because he kind of made me promise without signing papers that I would do it right. And I would just eat right, exercise, and not do all the crazy stuff I did the first time. And so here's what's really cool. So I won that contest too. I didn't lose 51 pounds, but I lost 37. You know, it was good. And we're talking 8 weeks, right? Is how long the contest is. And what was really cool, because somebody was asking me, can you maintain this? Can you keep it up? And what's cool about the contest, it just got me really focused on, hey, what I need to be eating, what I don't need to be eating, you know, how I need to be working out, all those things. And so the first time it was just about losing as much weight as I could. But the second time it was really, I was much more focused just on my health. Now, why do I tell you this story? Because that's what Lent is, really. That we kind of take evaluation. You know, this 40-day journey, it begins today, right? Because it's modeled pretty much after the 40 days that Jesus was tempted. And what we do during this time, because more than anything, it is a time of repentance, right? Because I don't want you to be stuck in a box at Ash Wednesday is, okay, this is my first day of giving up whatever I'm going to give up. Because what's tough is a lot of us, for 40 days, we give up stuff that shouldn't even be in our lives anyway. No lie. I had a guy tell me several years ago, I'm not watching porn for 40 days. And I thought, wow, okay, what a sacrifice. That's good, right? And I say that, I'm not even making fun of the guy, but I'm saying that's kind of like what our mindset is. Oh, and then, you know, because I'm just thinking of this guy, well, the 40 days are over. But all of us do it, don't we? I mean, yeah, sure we do. Sure, all of us, you know, if you participate in this at all, I mean, you know, there's already, I've had people say, I'm not having any sugar for 40 days. You know, one guy said, I'm not having any Mountain Dews for 40 days, or whatever it is that we're going to sacrifice. But here's the thing. So many people look at this time kind of like I looked at the first contest. I just want to lose as much weight as I can, right? And that's the deal, and that's what it's about. And let me tell you, that's where it gets you. That's where it gets you. Because it's not about whatever you might give up for 40 days. That's not what it's about. It is about our hearts, right? And during this time of really repentance, because it's not just a night of repentance, it's 40 days of really evaluating our lives. And maybe, you know, listening to the Spirit as the Spirit tells us, here's some things I want you to get out of your life. Because I guarantee you, If most of us made a list of what we need to get out of our lives, and you know, how many of those things on that list are going to be things like sugar? You know, I'm going to cut down on Facebook and all these things. But I'm going to tell you, what God is after is your heart. Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. He's not after your time. He's after your heart. And we mistake so much that he's just after our time. Because if we think he's after our time, we will just fill our calendar with good things, and our hearts will never grow any closer to him. I mean, this is what's cool. If he has our hearts, you don't have to worry about your time, right? Because he's going to lead us to do the things that we need to do, to spend our time the way he wants us to spend our time. But if he doesn't have our hearts, it's just like the first contest. And we'll go through these 40 days, and maybe we'll be successful, and we've cut back on things, or we've cut things out, but just for 40 days. Because I promise, the plan that God has for your life is not about 40 days. It's about every day from here on out, isn't it? That's what he wants. And so the prophet Joel writes this: "Put on sackcloth, O priest, and mourn. Wall, you who minister before the altar. Come spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God. For the grain offerings and drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." It's about repentance. And Joel was calling God's people to repentance, because this is how our hearts are cleansed, right? As we repent from those things in our life that shouldn't be there, and the things that should be in our lives that are not. And so it is a time of deep reflection. And for that reason, I love it. I love this time for that. I'm not getting all caught up in what am I giving up? What am I not going to have? Because that's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is that our hearts draw nearer to God. That's what this is about. And for that reason, I can be excited about Lent, and I can be excited about this Ash Wednesday, but only as it represents that ultimately what God wants from me and from you is our hearts. That's what he wants. So many times in church, we just get caught up in the right things, don't we? And we push the right things. As your pastors, we push the right things. But the deal is that right things never lead to a right heart. But a right heart always leads to right things. And that's the point. That's what this, it's this time of confession. It's a time of repentance. And you know, fasting is certainly a part of it. And fast typically, okay, and I know somebody will want to argue with me, just email me, scarborough@hillview.com. But in the Bible, fasting is primarily about food, right? And here's why it's primarily about food. And I'm not saying somebody said, well, I'm going to fast from Facebook. I get that. I understand it. That's fine. I'm not saying you're wrong. But the reason that fasts in the Bible are primarily about food is because one of the way the fast works is at some point, guess what begins to happen in your stomach when you're fasting? You get hungry. Right? And you experience what they call hunger pains, right? Everybody with me? And kind of what we're taught to do is that those hunger pangs, they remind us to pray. They remind us that we're seeking God's face, right? And so I guess if you're fasting from Facebook and somebody shoots you some message, maybe your phone dings and you can use it that way. But the point is that whatever it is, you know, if anything that we're going to surrender during this time of Lent, it is about us drawing closer to Christ. But it's not just for 40 days. Listen, the 40 days isn't even the goal. And that's how you know when somebody's way off on Lent. Because so many people are like, I just got to get through these 40 days. Well, you've missed. Hey, if that's how you feel about it, just don't start. Because it's not about 40 days, it's about our lives. And it is an incredible opportunity, just like the contests were for me. It's an incredible opportunity for us to really do some honest evaluation, for us to really seek God's face. And my challenge to you would be that, you know, for these next 40 days, we seek his face with more intensity than we have regularly. And that doesn't mean at 40 days we're going to stop. But what it means is as we're pursuing him intensely for these 40 days, what is he going to show us? What is he going to tell us, right? What's he going to share with us? But to be in a position that we are not typically in so that our ears are more attuned to hear from him. For me, that's what it's about. Joel writes in Chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. And I think that that is, for the large part, I think it's something that's missing in so many of our lives. Return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. And so if somebody said, so do you think I ought to do something for these 40 days? I would say, absolutely. I think you should. And I wouldn't even begin to try to say what I think you should do. I wouldn't do that. But I would ask, and we're going to have a time of altar, I would ask that each of us really seek the Lord. And we commit these 40 days. Now, I've already kind of made my case that it's not about 40 days. But we commit these 40 days from now until Easter and say, Lord, I'm going to listen to you like I haven't been listening before. I'm going to seek you like I haven't been seeking you before. And that these 40 days, they should look different than the days before, right? And that our prayer is, God, speak to me. God, show me what it is that you want to show me. And it's a time, because the point in Joel wasn't the fasting, it wasn't the weeping, and it wasn't the mourning, because those three things, they were vehicles to help get to the place that Joel's ultimately talking about, and that is returning to God with all of our hearts. This is what we're going to do tonight. I just want to have a time of altar. And you know, I'm just going to ask you. I don't believe the altar is a magical place. I don't believe God can show you something at the altar that he can't show you at your chair. So I don't believe that. But I am going to ask that we really seek God tonight. And so I want to have an available and extended time of altar for folks just to come and to pray. We're going to have folks with the ashes here tonight. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If you do it, you're not more spiritual than anybody else. And if you choose not to do it, it doesn't mean you're less spiritual than anybody else. But we did want to have the ashes available. And so we're going to have people down here at the front. They'll have the ashes. They'll put them on your head. And so that's going to be available for you. And maybe what you want to do is just come to the altar first and just get on your face before God and say, all right, Lord. And you know what my hope is? You know what my prayer is? I remember when the guy from D1 called me. Because when he called me, I wasn't thinking, gosh, I'd really love to lose some weight. I wasn't thinking that. I probably had a Twinkie in my hand when he called, right? And he just called. And he was just so encouraging to me. He said, man, you're always making fun of your weight. And we got this contest. And why don't you do it? He said, it's, it's about 8 weeks. And I'd love to see you do it. You know, and he said, I'll help hold you accountable. And I don't know what it was about that phone call, but something clicked for me. I don't know what it was. But, you know, somehow this guy talking, I just started thinking, I can do this. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, but I can do it. And you guys, listen, that's my hope for tonight, spiritually, that maybe some of you have come and maybe you just felt like, I don't even know how to return to God with all of my heart. How do I do that? Some of you are not sure if God even wants all your heart anymore. You feel like you've made so many mistakes. You've messed up so many times. Surely God's not as interested in you as he once was. And that's a lie. He loves you. He created you. When does he not want the best for you? He always wants that for you, right? And the best for us is just drawing close to him. So I'm going to pray, and I just want to open up the altar. I want to invite you to come. The folks who are going to have the ashes, they're going to spread out, and you can go to them. But I'm asking, let's really seek him tonight like we never have. Let's really listen to him like we never have. Father, we come to you. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And Lord, I thank you for these repeated calls throughout Scripture where you're challenging us to return to you with all of our hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourning. And every time you say it in your word that your desire is that your people, your children, would draw near to you, God, it just reminds us how crazy in love you are with us. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever switch that needs to take place in our lives or whatever button needs to be pushed, God, that you would do that tonight. And Lord, that maybe for a lot of us, maybe it's been a long time since that desire for you was so pure and so intense. But I pray you do it tonight, Lord. And as we open this altar, that we'd be willing to get on our faces before you to seek your face. Let's stand together, church. This altar is open. Don't wait on anybody else. I just want to invite you to come. So come now.